Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Relationships Rock. Today we have not one, but six guests in the studio, in the Zoom studio. We have some very brave individuals who are going to be sharing with us their thoughts and experiences on the Shit Up System. So this episode was actually inspired by a conversation that followed from a quote-unquote controversial podcast episode. I happen to really have not seen it. And there was a lot of talk there about things like Shomunagia and Shidduch pictures. And there were a lot of people who felt uncomfortable with it. So we decided to kind of have our own roundtable. We're not going to be talking specifically about Shomunagia and what happens if people break it, or do people break it? Is it normal and so forth? For those interested, we actually have two episodes on Shomunagia on the podcast. So before we start, let's introduce our guest.
Hi, my name's Raquel. I'm 22 years old, and I'm currently from Miami, Florida.
Hi, Rafael. 27 years old, Brooklyn. I work in real estate.
Hi, I'm Ikusea. I'm 27 years old, from Brooklyn. Currently working in the nursing home industry. Nice to meet you all, and looking forward for our conversation.
Hi, my name is Ben. I am 26 years old. I am part of Yeshiva in the morning, and I work in real estate in the afternoon. We'll have to speak after, Rafael. Yeah, excited to be here. Never done anything like this before.
Medina, I'm 22, from out of town, so not in New York or New Jersey, and I'm a social worker.
Hi, I'm Etty. I'm also from out of town, but I currently live in the amazing city of Brooklyn, Flatbush. I work in compliance.
So let's get started with the first question. Do you think that you can make up your mind in the first 5 minutes of a date?
I think there's like half answer is you can make up your mind if you want to go again, if you want to go on a second date, but definitely not make up your mind if like you can't have a judgment of the whole person in 5 minutes, but you can definitely have an idea whether you want to go out with him again or not.
I was going to say like a very similar answer, which is you can definitely tell in the extremes, right? Like you can tell if it's like totally not the type at all in some sense. And then if it's not totally not the type at all, then I don't think you can tell much, you know? So I think it's like Raquel was saying, you can tell if it's like, okay, this is worth it. Or if you're like, this is a one and done, and I'm going to talk to my friends about the type this was. So I think in the extremes, you could probably tell in the first 5 minutes.
I would say the first 5 minutes, you could kind of see where that date's going to lead you, whether, you know, for the good or for the bad. Usually it's toward to the bad, like the first 5 minutes, if you're already like thinking that way.
I think you have to just be like a little open-minded, you know, even within first 5 minutes, that's like a little of a short period of time to like, you know someone. Obviously, if the date's going good and personality is, you know, going good and you guys are just having a good conversation, but let's say you're not feeling attraction, but still I think you should, you know, give it a shot and go at it a second time, because sometimes looks can grow on you, and you should for sure be like open-minded with that. So I don't know, 5 minutes is a little bit of a short period of time. But definitely just see how it goes, you know. Maybe the conversation is flowing, and like I said, personality sometimes just does take over. So in my opinion, it's always worth it to go at even a second shot.
Even if you know that it's totally not going to go.
I mean, if it's like a horrendous date and it was like totally like just way off, I guess you can not go on a second date. But if the personality was great and the conversation was great, but let's say you're not feeling attraction part, you should definitely be open-minded to a second chance, because like I said, looks can grow on you.
Right. That's true. I kind of have this thing where I do. It's like, it might call me crazy, but like, if you feel uncomfortable, like in public with that person, then, you know, you have an issue. That's how I like when it comes to like, you know, attractions, going to the second date or not, if like looks are going to grow with you, you know, where you could be like with someone in public and then you could kind of feel like embarrassed to be seen with that person. I'm being really honest there. And if you do have that feeling, then I would, you know, I would tell people, and I do it to myself as well. And as I say, like, that's not, like, nothing's going to grow on me from here on.
Wow. I mean, thank you for the vulnerability, Ikusiel. Hashtag keeping it real. Ben, do you want to add to that?
Yeah. I think the theory of being able to you know, see really fast whether you like someone sounds good. But I mean, the practice of it, I don't think there's ever any girl that I've gone out with that I, in the first 5 minutes, I actually decided or had a good read that didn't change at the end of the first date, if let alone the second date or the third date. My own experience, I think, that says to give it a second shot. And I'm that guy that gives a second date because even if I didn't necessarily have the best time on the first date, because you never know, like someone might have had a headache or someone might have had a bad day or their cat died. I don't know. You never know. So, you know, even if it's just to make the other person feel like you gave it a good shot, I think that in itself is a worthy time of, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours of your life, even if it's, you know, not the simplest. Because what do we know? You know, what we're, I'm 26, you know, like I don't really know really what's going on. You know, I try my best and I think I do what I think Hashem wants for me, but I don't know, you know, so give it a shot. Just be open-minded, you know?
I think it's so interesting is that the guys commented about attraction. And when I was saying you could tell it's not the type, I wasn't talking about looks. I was talking about like a guy shows up and you could tell just from like his tits and kippa that he's like not hashkafically what you're looking for. Or you're really out of town and a guy shows up and he's wearing Ferragamo shoes and like a Gucci belt. Right. And like, you just are like, it's not the type. And that's not like, cause he's not good looking or he's not nice. It's because you can just tell like, whoa, this is off. That's where my mind was going to when I said sometimes you can tell in the extremes when it's like just so not the type.
I mean, I feel like that's still like an external thing. I thought you were going to say like he doesn't hold the door open or like something like shows his midos more than like his Ferragamo belt. I don't know. Like it's still external. You're seeing in the first 5 minutes how much of their internal selves is it really portraying? You don't know until you meet them.
Okay, well, kind of bouncing off of that, do you guys feel like there's any like red flags that could happen on a first date that would not make you give it a second date? Meaning a lot of people take the approach of unless something horrible happens, we're going to go on a second date. So what could happen on a first date that you're like, you know what, this is not for me?
For me, it's sneeze, I guess. That's something that you can see pretty fast, you know, especially on a first date when they're putting themselves out there, putting the best foot forward. If the nasnias on the first date, that's going to be something for me. And obviously everyone has their own levels. I mean, there's halachas nias, which is, I think, my level. But, you know, people might be more machmer than that, and that's fine. But otherwise, yeah, for me, I think that's the red flag that I have.
Raquel, you can just unmute yourself.
Sorry, yeah. I mean, when everybody's talking about hashkafa and I would think that I would do research on that like beforehand. And if it's something like so off, like obviously like no, like there's no second date on that. But at the end of the day, like you never, unless you're looking for someone that's super yeshivish and the guy is coming up like not yeshivish at all or something like that, like I think you never know hashkafically unless you like actually like are in the date and like you ask around and like the things that you want aren't aligning. But red flags, I mean, I think for sure, I mean, I've had a few. I mean, lying for sure. That's number one. I mean, things that you know that are true and like they're kind of like lying straight up to you. Or like, I mean, I know this is like petty, but like the holding the door situation says a lot about a guy. I don't know if I would say no to him because he didn't, because I'm sure like they're nervous or whatever, but I don't know, like I just think midos number two. And also like another red flag that would be is anger, like how they react to like situations or like the waiter, do they say thank you, do they give a tip? So kind of like little things like that.
Yes, that's like I said, second to what Ben said.
Well, I'll like go off what you said. I think language is like a really big thing. If a guy, like I know that people hold in different places with the way that they speak and people have different standards, but if someone's swearing, especially like not a very nice, like there's also levels of swearing, but if someone's, you know, saying really bad words on the date, I think that's just a sign of like how they view dating and like how they view themselves and how they're not holding themselves to like a high standard. especially on a first date when you're trying to put your best foot forward. And I think that if someone is saying, it also goes with like saying inappropriate things, like you don't know the person at all. This is literally a first impression. So like put your best foot out there. Obviously we're all nervous. We all, you know, maybe having bad days, but if someone's saying really inappropriate things or swearing, I think that's a really big red flag.
Comment on what Etty said, that I 100% like, I agree with you. Like someone that's swearing, like you can be like the starkest guy out there, like on paper, but like if swearing comes up or like inappropriate comments or like not even that, like not even fully inappropriate, like what you would think, but like even like excessively like flirting or like stuff like this, like I think that's for sure a red flag.
Yeah, I think everyone does math after first date. They do this math of like, this is them putting their best foot forward, so let me kind of subtract, you know what I'm saying, like if this is them on their best behavior. So if a guy is cursing or making like racist jokes, sexist jokes, you're like, this is what you're telling me on a first date, like I can't even imagine what your life with your friends. So you do build that math in a little bit. So even if that behavior to you on like, I don't know, if a friend had said it, wouldn't be necessarily shocking. You do go like, I don't know you. Like, how do you know I'm okay with those kinds of comments? So for sure, and like over flirtatiousness is very uncomfortable.
I would add one more thing. I would say kind of like attitude. If you could, you go out with someone and you could just see how they are acting in a way, like, are they showing interest? Are they participating in the date? Are they, you know, getting involved in the conversations, or they're just like sitting there and just feel like they don't want to be there? Or like, even when, like, you know, let's say, you know, the standard, you know, first date, getting all dressed up, right? And you go pick someone up and you feel like they put zero effort into that date. That is like a big, like, no-no for me. It's like, I'm giving all my effort and like I'm expecting, you know, that same energy from you as well.
Yekusiel, I love that you mentioned that. So one of my big things that I do with coaching, feminine energy and tapping into feminine energy, answer questions, smile, lean in, like receive what he's giving you. Like if a guy's taking you on a date, he made the decision to invest in you. He's putting a lot. He's showing up. It's his job to carry the conversation. It's his job to take you out, to do everything. All you have to do is be present. So I love that you mentioned it, because I think guys really do pick up on it. If a girl shows up with good energy, and by the way, I think the first 5 minutes when you first meet each other, and I'm not speaking to the girls here, if you walk in with like a smile, you look pretty, you make eye contact, that sets the tone of like, I'm here, I'm engaged, I'm like open.
Definitely. It also helps the conversation flow as well, you know, and it just... certain people feed off other people's energy. So if you're sharing zero energy, then obviously the date's going to be the most awkward date that you're on, and you're not going to have, you know, conversation flow.
I have like a question on that though, because like if you're an extrovert and like this is like something that comes very easy to you and natural to you, and you're very good about eye contact and making like people feel comfortable, and you feel, you know, that you connect with people very easily, but like I just in my experience I found that like you can like over connect and you kind of like reach levels faster than like how it's like supposed to go, and you kind of like people leave first dates feeling like, whoa, like that was so amazing, but it's kind of like fake, because it's like your personality and you're just trying to be like a receptive, I guess, like girl, and trying to be like listening to their stories and laughing and being attentive, but then at the end of the day you kind of leave them with I don't know the word.
False hope.
Yeah, exactly. So like I'm just curious to know like people's thoughts on like being too, I don't know if that's even a thing, being too invested or being too,
well, see, it's funny, Etty, because imagine a guy says to me, well, why would I open the door for her on the first date if I'm not going to do that all the time? Why would I show up in a suit? I'm not going to do that all the time. Once we're married, we're sharing finances. Why should I pay for the date? Let's split it. So I feel like there is a balance. I would love to hear from you guys what you have to say in response.
I have a thought on that as a very extroverted person who people might think I like more than I do. which is like changing your perspective from I want this person to like me to like I want to get to know this person, because I'm very good at being likable and getting someone to like me. And I've had times where I'll like leave a conversation with someone and think like, I don't know if I actually thought they were funny or if I was fake laughing. Like, I actually don't know if I was actually laughing at all. So switching it from I want this person to like me to like I'm approaching with curiosity and I want to get to know this person, I find like, first of all, gets you out of your own head, but also will kind of make you more of a real person. But at the end of the day, like if you're just a likable extroverted person, that's not your fault. Like, you're not doing anything wrong by just being extroverted. That's your personality.
I feel like there's like a fine line between those two, though. Like the between, you know, mm-hmm. showing what you got and having normal conversations and trying to get to know the person to an extent to versus, you know, asking certain questions where you might be misleading that person, or, you know, staying in the car, let's say, if you're not interested at all and staying in the car for, let's say, you know, continuing conversation when you know good and well that's not going anywhere, just end the conversation and have a good night type of thing.
Yeah, I agree, but it's like very hard, because if it's like you're right, it is a total fine line of like what you like, you know, something in your head, but you're trying to like be a mensch about it. And especially if you are more extroverted, you kind of don't even realize what you're doing. You just really enjoy spending time with another person, even though you know that that person isn't going to be the person that you marry. So it's just kind of like, it is a fine line. And I think it is something that you have to like work on with yourself and like have like some self like reflection. And maybe after that happens to you, like kind of like maybe like making boundaries in your head or talking to somebody. But like, it is really hard for people who really enjoy connection with other people, even if they know it's not going to be their husband. So I agree, but it is really complicated.
My opinion on this is that this is like one of those scenarios where you just have to throw out dating norms and like, I'm supposed to be at this point in date one and this point in date two and this point in date three, and just like connect how you connect. And I mean, I'm not married yet. I hope that like your spouse is going to connect with you in that way, because that's the most natural you. And just like trust, not necessarily the system, but trust like Hashem. Like if you don't want to trust the system, you know, that the right one out there, like that's how you will connect, because that's genuine to yourself.
I feel like also we're kind of confusing or maybe putting together flirting and then just being mensch-like. So I think it would be good to hear from you guys. What is that fine line? Like, what's the difference between a girl being on a date from the guy's perspective? She's just, you know, she dressed up, she's pleasant, she's answering questions, but she's not giving you false hope or signals that, oh, she wants to go out again. Like, what would be that? Let me rephrase this. What is something that either gender could do that tells you, I want to go out with you again, versus I'm just being mensch-like and getting to know you?
I think sometimes, like, if you're on, like, say, like, a second or, like, third date, and sometimes, like, the girls, like, stay, like, in the car for an hour or sometimes even 2 hours, and because the conversation is just, like, flowing and, like, everything is going great. But then the next day, they said no. So it's, like, I don't know, we just had, like, a 4-hour date plus, like, 2 hours in front of your house of, like, a great conversation, and that like, just leaves the guy sometimes, like, confused. It's like a double standard. So it's like, I guess for guys, it's like really confusing. Like you're having this great conversation, you're vibing, everything's going great. And then, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, a letdown. Like what happened, you know, like, oh, I wasn't feeling the connection, but we were just talking for like 2 hours straight. That's kind of going, building on the connection. And then obviously you have the next date or like the next date. At least give it like, what I'm saying is like, I don't know, one more date. And if you don't feel on the next day, maybe don't stay in the car for like 3 hours. but sometimes for a guy, when a girl is staying in the car for so long after the date, it sometimes gives us the impression of like, okay, maybe this girl's like interested.
I've definitely used that as a gauge also. I think I used that more as a gauge in the beginning. And then I realized that not all girls like think to stay in the car. And sometimes you just jump out because they're at their house and they just think, okay, the date's over and we're here now. So I kind of just...
More of like controlling like interest by like staying in the car and like staying with you.
Usually you would think. And then there's also like that maybe over those 2 hours of conversation, something changed and they've heard something and they're like, oh, maybe this is not a shaykh. And yeah, it's annoying. And but just devil's advocate, I think would, because I definitely had those conversations in the car at the end of dates. And then during those conversations, we got into a lot of tachlis and got very deep. And we did call it after that, and more mutually, but then they're done that.
Also, I feel like sometimes people use like, oh, I didn't feel it, or like something happened in a date. Like, though, even though like you guys had great chemistry and you're, you know, talking and you were like connected in that 2 hours, there might be something that she doesn't like about you that she feels bad saying, like, oh, well, his breath really smells and I can't handle it. And like, she's using that as an a polite way of saying like that, like letting him out easy. Like, oh, I just wasn't connected. There's probably a million other things besides the connection that is making her say no. And like, so yeah, I feel like a lot of times people aren't 100% truthful in their answers when they say no, because they don't want to make people feel bad. So like, let's say she just thought you were really ugly and she was giving you like 4 chances. Oh, maybe it will grow. And then it never did. She doesn't want to say, oh, it's because he's ugly. So I think sometimes maybe they're just trying to get out of it a little bit.
Add to that, which is, I think that a lot of the stuff comes down to like girls just trying to be nice. I think like it's so drilled into like women's heads societally to be nice. So I know, I have so many friends who will go out with a guy over and over again because they're like, he likes me, I feel bad, I want to be nice, or like it looks like he wants to talk to me and I didn't want to just leave. Girls are so wired that way, like we're so drilled into our heads that you have to like kind of unlearn that habit and realize there's a difference between being nice and being kind. And sometimes the kind thing to do is to just call it so that there is no mixed messages. But girls are so worried about like hurting someone's feelings. I think a lot of girls are like that.
But then also that in a sense of like, you're like leading on the guy and he's like flying high and like, you're not. So it's like, you know,
it's the opposite. You're trying to be nice while you're doing the opposite of, you're hurting the guy even more.
Yeah.
So I guess like you said, you got to know the difference between kind and nice. I mean, kind and just nice.
But the thing is also sometimes girls, because they're so scared to lead somebody on, will want to cut it off very early because they're like, oh, he really likes me, I don't want to lead him on. And kind of like the line I always tell them is, you're not leading someone on if you're truthful. If you just say to them, hey, I'm not sure where this is going, but I see good things in you, I'm happy to continue. So the guy can kind of get like a internal break to say, okay, she's not as excited as I am. And then the guy can decide if he wants to continue investing this or not. But I find a lot of times girls will jump the gun and end something too quickly because they're so scared of leading him on. And guys on the other end would say, but I would love to give it more time, see if it grows. You just have to communicate, guys. Like, you are able to communicate on dates. I actually recommend that people on a third date have a conversation to say, hey, where are you holding? Do you have any questions for me? Yeah, Ben,
I'm curious, what do you think about doing that after the second date? Because I've done that before. If I've gone on a date with someone that I got along with, I don't do this very often, but certain girls I've done this with, when I just at the end of the day, it was a great date. Take your time. Do, if you need to think. But like, just so you know, like, I'm going to give you a yes. And like, if you want to give me a yes back, great. If not, whatever. But I don't need to play any games and like, wait. And if I don't need to think, you know, this is where I'm at. And then in the second date, I've done the same thing. And then I expressed, just to be clear, you know, I don't know where this is going. I know that I want to go out on a third date. And again, like, I'm just giving you a yes, like, do with it what you will. I've got mixed reviews, so I'm curious, like, what people think.
So let's hear from the ladies. What do you guys think if a guy does that on a second, third date?
I think on the first date, I mean, it's a very nice thing to do for sure. On the first day, I would be like a little bit like caught off guard, but like for sure, like second, third date, like I've had a situation for sure with like on dates that, I mean, the thing is, it's always been the issue, like kind of like I've been like unsure. I've never been like on the other side that I'm super sure and like he's not. From my experience, like from dating really, like let's say when I was 19 and I just dated started dating. For sure, it was very hard for me to like say, okay, this is not gonna work out, or like I'm not feeling it, because I didn't know how to communicate. But like further on, now I'm 22. Okay, now I say, I'm like, listen, I don't know, is that okay with you? And depends on the guy if he wants to continue it or not. But on the first day, I feel like I don't know. I think it would be a little bit like too much. But for sure, second, third day, like I've had it before also.
I think it's really smart, actually, because I think it gives you an opportunity to express like kind of what's going on in your mind. Also, obviously, if a guy is saying that he had a really great time, then it clearly wasn't a terrible date, because unless he's like completely socially off and he just likes everything. But obviously there was chemistry and there was something there that like you guys connected over that he felt, and you usually feel it. You usually feel it also, maybe not the same amount. And I feel like this could really help, even what I was saying before, where you can kind of have a chance to communicate back your feelings with like, oh, like, yeah, I really like you. You seem like a really great guy. I maybe came off like a little bit strong and maybe like whatever, I would like to get to know you more, but, and this is where I'm holding now. So I think it is a really great opportunity to like communicate where you're at. It could be a really awkward conversation, but I kind of think it'd be a nice awkward conversation of being like kind of being really honest. And I feel like there's sometimes a lot of faking in the shidduch world where we kind of pretend a lot, and even if it is awkward and uncomfortable, you kind of get a chance to be really real with the person you're with, which I think is actually a really nice change of pace. So I'm totally for it.
I really love what Ben said. I'm a big proponent of that. Just be real. Just, you know, you guys are adults, you want to get married, have a conversation, you know, like, do you have any, and you can begin the conversation by saying, do you have any questions for me? Because a lot of times people make assumptions, like, but like people will jump to conclusions, you know, like, oh, he said this, that must mean that he has blah, 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 blah. And it's like, just ask them straight out, you know, like, what are your thoughts on this? And so forth. I kind of want to go a little bit into a different topic, but really related to this, which is gender roles in shidduchim, in dating. So let's ask the first question. Should a guy always pay for a date, and should a girl offer?
Yes, I definitely think a guy should always, especially in the beginning, for sure, always pay for a date. It just shows that you're classy. It just shows that you're treating your girl right. You know, you're the one taking her out. It just shows, you know, properness. Obviously, once, if you know, if things are escalating and it's getting serious, whether it's even a seventh or eighth date, sometimes the girl will even offer like, oh, I want to plan the date or something. I want to buy tickets to the Ranger game or something, like for our date. So I definitely think like later on, you know, the girls can definitely take, you know, control on like one date and definitely plan it. I think it's nice and cute and fun. But definitely in the beginning, a guy should definitely be, you know, picking up the tab for sure. You know, and never ask a girl to like split a date or like pay for a date. That's just not classy at all, in my opinion.
Most definitely a guy should be paying for the dates. It's a guy's role, I would say, to pay. It's always nice, like let's say later on a girl could like, you know, like offer like, oh, you want me to pay. It's definitely a nice gesture, but like I don't think I ever took a girl up on that offer, but definitely nice. It shows some like midos in a way where they're like caring and like want to participate and to pay and help pay for it. It's definitely nice, but across the board, a guy should be paying for a date. It's the guy taking the girl out. It's the guy's responsibility to pay.
Not much to add. I think that it depends what kind of house you want to have when you get married. If you plan on having a house where the man is going to be the breadwinner, he's going to be taking care of the wife financially, then I think that's how you want to date. If you want to have a house where you have a woman that makes six figures and is, you know, boss of the house and feminism and all that stuff, then I think you can maybe get a little more woke with it. I don't know. Not my cup of tea. I'm looking for a more classic, old school kind of environment in my home. But yeah, I think most people in the shidduch world are also, you know, understand that the woman brings something to the house and the man brings something else to the house, and they complement each other, and more in an old school sense. And I think that is generally involves the man being the breadwinner and taking care of those kinds of things, and paying for the dates and stuff like that. So yeah, I would add that if you want to, if you're okay with having a woke household, then you can ask her to pay for dates.
Okay, what about the ladies? What do you guys think? Should the guy always offer? Have you had guys ask you to pay for dates? And how would you respond to that?
I've never had anyone offer. I've offered like more as a joke than anything, but it came up and we were talking about it in conversation and I was like, oh, I'll pay, but he turned me down. But I honestly think as a girl, I think the best thing to do is be appreciative. Like if a guy drives in from somewhere far or not even that far, but like he still drove in, he probably rented a car, you know, it's expensive. It's annoying. Traffic sucks. Like just be thankful and say thank you as much as you can for them taking the time and the energy to plan and to do everything. That's what I try to do. Like that's me giving back to them is being thankful for the date. I always say thank you at the end. I always say thank you when they pay during the date, just because I feel like it's the menschlich thing to do. And I think it would demasculate men to be like, oh, here, let me pay for it. I think they'd feel kind of bad. So in a way it's kind of like just being like, oh, thank you. And appreciating that they did put in an effort. So that's what I try to do.
And we guys appreciate the appreciation. So thank you.
Yeah, 100%. Like I wouldn't be comfortable like offering to pay for a date. Like I think it's more like traditional rules. Like I'm more for that. But 100%, like being like super thankful, like every time, like, and also like understanding the effort, like it's not so easy all the time, especially if you're already at the 6th, 7th date. Regarding like paying, like once you guys are like in like an actual relationship and like taking, I don't know, like surprising the guy somewhere, like for sure. But I think like in general, it should be more like, you know, like the guy has his role and like the girl has her role.
So kind of jumping off of that, what are some things that the girls could do to give to the guys in the dating process or to let them know that, hey, I am interested in you? Like what would the guys consider appropriate, nice, kosher flirting?
I think the classic thing is like finding out what kind of pastries or candies they like and like picking that up and bringing that with you. Like just the idea is to show that you're listening and that you're interested and that you pick up something that they said and then to follow up with them the second date. I mean, I think that goes both ways. Just shows that you're invested and yet you care about it and you're trying, you know, that you want to make it be something.
I'd also like add to that. Obviously showing interest is, you know, like after like a third or fourth date, you know, you want to get like her phone number, you want to call her like before Shabbos, to just like, you know, touch base. Yeah, you know, finding out her favorite drink or her favorite food. Maybe she's going away somewhere, get her like a little plane bag, put some goodies in there. All these things, you know, really can build a connection more, and the relationship and take it to like the next level. So, and it's also the guy just showing interest in the girl.
Kind of the same thing that what Ben and Rafael said, you know, finding out if, you know, they have a specific type of drink next day, you know, instead of bringing the old classic water, bring that her favorite drink. She mentioned the date before that, you know, she enjoys a certain, you know, type of activity or things like that. Make sure, you know, the dates, you know, afterwards you'll, you know, go and do that activity with her. Or also like, you know, kosher compliments as well, you know, I would say also is in a way of kosher flirting.
So let me ask the girls, the ladies, what do you guys think is kosher flirting? Like what compliments are welcomed? What compliments are not welcomed and when?
Really think it really depends on where you are at that relationship. So like how long you've known the guy, like how long have you been dating? I think in the beginning, for sure, I mean, it's more actions than words in the beginning, I think, for sure. And then afterwards, it just depends, like, I don't know, like, how comfortable you are. Again, in my opinion, it depends where you are in the relationship.
I agree that it depends, for sure. I also think that there's ways to be complimentary and kind that aren't commenting on a girl's looks. And I think that a line is crossed when it becomes comments about how somebody looks, like attractiveness, versus commenting on like things you notice about that person, like, you know, I don't know, like things you could point out that you admire about them or complimenting the way they think about something or something like that. So there's ways to be like complimentary and nice that aren't, it don't cross the line until like a certain point in the relationship. And I also think that like Raquel was saying, like effort, like that's like when you say like actions, like I think effort is so important. So that's like a million little things, like putting an effort into planning something. Yeah, I think effort, and then, you know, waiting a little bit before maybe, you know, getting to like comments on somebody's like physical appearance.
I also think a lot of it is about body language. I don't think that you can quote unquote only flirt with your mouth. I think you can show like interest with your body if you like lean in or you smile or you kind of like, okay, obviously we don't want to get like, we don't want to bump into them, but like walk closer. You can kind of tell when someone's interested based on how they're reacting to you, like just based like subconsciously and like physically. And even if you are conscious of the way that you're kind of like your body language is, like try not to cross your arms or like lean back, or just kind of showing interest through not eye contact is a really big thing. If someone looks you in the eye and says something meaningful, that's not like a small thing. I think eye contact is really important. I think it builds connections like a lot deeper than if you don't look them in the eye when you talk to them. So I think there's more than just like verbal ways of showing interest. I think that also like with effort is, I guess, also kind of like, it's also not verbal, but it's also another thing of just showing interest through something else besides speaking, because I think that's like a very fine line between what is considered like nice and like, oh, that was so cute, versus like, ooh, like, so it's kind of, I feel like if you show it in other ways, at least in the beginning, then it's kind of like, it's a lot easier to find that like balance of being like sneeze and like not unattractive.
Yeah, let me ask you guys a question. When you're dating someone, what's the feeling that you're searching for? Like, what's that feeling that makes you say, this could be it, like this has potential?
I think obviously for guys, you always want to feel like a spark. You don't have to feel it on the first or second date. But if you're already going out, you know, 4 or 5 or even 6 times, you obviously want to feel some kind of connection or chemistry, or you want to be excited to see her like on the next date. You want to bring her her favorite, whatever it is, food, maybe send something to like her house. Not well, obviously like after the second date, that would just be weird. But you know, if it's getting more serious, obviously the connection and spark probably, you know, really just has to like be there. You know, and obviously chemistry is probably, you know, a really important part also of it.
Rafael, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can you define for us chemistry? Like, how do you know when you have chemistry with somebody?
Well, I think if you're like excited to like see that person, you know, you're smiling from ear to ear, you're so excited for like your next date. You want to do something cute for her. You share the same interests, you know, that can also build on chemistry. You have the same values. Obviously to every person, you know, every person is different. You know, you can't have everything in common, but you know, you share similar interests. You talk about certain things, and you can talk about those things for hours, because you can be sitting in the car talking about, I don't know, a box of cereal for like an hour, and it's like a great conversation. But I think all these things really build the connection and build the chemistry. You know, it could be serious conversations about serious things, but it could also be goofy stuff. Yeah, so I think this is what really builds chemistry, and it builds the relationship, and it takes it to, as they say, the next level.
For me, I think I would say chemistry is like being kind of on the same wavelength and like clicking in that sense. My gauge kind of when I start off dating is this someone that I want to be friends with? And I take that the first date through the second date, really. And then, I mean, the girls that I got along with the most, there was a sense of like, there's something different about this girl. And like, I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, to get to that place where like, this girl's different, because I think everyone should be at that place with their spouse. I mean, with their wife, you know, and to think that she's special. So that's kind of what I go for.
I think that a lot, I can only speak for myself, I can't even speak for girls in this matter, but I really think it for me, it's feeling safe with the person. And I think that makes you feel connected in like a very special way. And that's what I would define like chemistry as, like you feel safe with them that you can share things that you wouldn't share with most people, or you feel safe with them to be yourself, and you feel safe in the relationship that makes you want to see them and be with them. So I think that at least I am looking for someone that I feel safe with, that makes me feel, maybe this is a woman thing. I don't know for sure if everyone feels the same way, but makes me feel like protected, and that like ultimately just feel very safe, and that someone's got my back 100%. I don't know if that's the same thing as chemistry, but I definitely think that if you feel safe in the relationship, then I feel like it's easier to build chemistry versus if you don't feel 100% safe, it's really hard to build that excitement or that like connection because you don't feel 100% safe. So that's what I look for, is someone who makes me feel safe and makes me feel like I want to be confident in who I am and be my full self in front of them, because I feel that way.
Whoa, I was about to say like the same exact thing. And I think it's way deeper than chemistry and way deeper than I don't know, having fun. I think it's a safety that like you've never felt with anyone else. I feel like it's comfort. It's like you just feel like protected in a way. And the relationship is just deep. Like, and you know, again, can I describe that in words? Not really, but it's something that like, again, you can't describe in words, and something that like you know, you can tell, and like this person's gonna accept you like with everything you have, with all your flaws, with all your anything, and like they're still gonna like be there for you, like to like, you know, like for you like to like lean on, I think. But I think, again, I feel like it's like words can't describe it. It's like a very like deep feeling, I feel, of safety and comfort and wanting to be like protected.
Also gonna say the word safety, so maybe it is universal to girls. I mean, I don't know what kind of girls looking for lack of safety, that's like a whole different kind of situation. But I think for sure safety is something that like it's a prerequisite, I guess, to like intimacy and closeness, is obviously feeling safe with a person, and it's not something you could always articulate, and it's not always like you don't always feel safe around someone who's necessarily bigger and stronger. It's kind of this thing you can't like put your finger on why you feel safe with somebody. But there's like an emotional component to that for sure. So I really agree with both of you girls said. So we're all on the same page.
I think it's interesting that the guys are saying it's they want to give to the girls this feeling of I want to give to her. And the girls are saying, I want to, like, I feel comfortable receiving from them. I'm just pointing it out there. I find that very interesting.
For gender roles.
Yes.
That's one for gender roles.
And that's what's interesting about gender roles, that it is biology. like literally, you know, like it's innate. Rafael Yekutiel, do you want to add to that?
Like, I can't really put it into words what I'm thinking and what the kind of like chemistry that you want to like feel and connect to get there. I feel like your interests have to be alike. You know, my mother always says it's like, you know, like how do you know like you have chemistry with someone. Like, this is just one example. It's like you have a long day at work, a long day in school, and you go out with the person and you totally forget about everything that's going on in your life, and you're just like having a good time. That could tell you like where you're holding, you know, with your relationship with that person.
So I want to kind of bounce off of that, because obviously part of chemistry is also attraction, right? And there's a whole discussion with shit up pictures and how much of that needs to be weighed in. So I would love to hear from you guys. I feel like guys always get a lot of slack for this, and the ladies feel very strong about this, but should there be shit up pictures? And, you know, does it look bad if a girl doesn't send a shit up picture, specifically if she doesn't send a full length shit up picture?
I'll tell you my journey a little bit through shit up pictures, and then I'll tell you my experience. When I started out, I started about 3 years ago dating. And if they came with the resume, I looked at them. If they didn't, I didn't. I had a scenario where I got a picture of a girl that I thought was very pretty, and I really wanted to go out with her, and she was busy, and I waited. She was busy for another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I kind of ended up waiting a month, and then we never ended up going out anyway. So I was like, okay, like, I don't need that. And then I had another scenario where my mother knew the girl in personally, and I saw the picture and I wasn't so interested. She said, no, she's pretty. So I went out, and she was for sure prettier in person than she was in the picture. So I had on one hand the scenario where I had a very supposedly pretty girl where I kind of put my dating on hold for, and nothing ever materialized from it. And then I had another scenario where I had a picture and she ended up being prettier than she was in the picture. So for a while, for like, I think over a little over a year, I stopped looking at pictures completely and I just did blind dating. And then it kind of got to the point where I needed a way to differentiate a little bit between resumes. And I knew a fear of mine was that I was going to be basing things off the pictures. And I got to a place where I thought I was confident that I wasn't going to be basing things off the pictures. I also travel a lot, and it makes things much easier when you're traveling to have an image of someone that you think you are a little bit excited to go out with. So it helps with that. That's kind of my now. So I'm back at the point where if I get a sent a picture, I look at the picture. If I don't see a picture, it's not necessarily a mark against her, but it's not going to be a mark for her either. Because if I have a resume and a picture of a girl that I think is pretty, then I'm very possibly it's going to get Kadima over. It's going to go first just because that already is working for her. Now I'll also say that I've dated a few girls that told me that the first thing they look at is the picture, and they're very open that they'll nix things off the picture. So it's very much not, I think, a one-sided thing. I think it works on both sides, and they'll swear that it's all about the vibe, and we see the vibe from the picture, and that tells you so much. And it's very possible it could, and that's great, but like, it works both ways. Like, it's not just one size judging on the pictures. End rant.
I really agree with the last point you made, which is every time the pictures comes up, it becomes this like guy versus girl debate, which is just so counterproductive. But I think that girls have this image in their head of like a guy with like just pictures swiping through like it's Tinder and going like hot, not hot, hot, not hot, hot, not hot. And that makes girls feel very insecure. This idea that you're just like literally being compared and ranked against other girls. So I think that's for some girls where that like instant anger comes from is that like insecurity a little bit, and that like, I don't want to be compared to other girls based off of my looks. Like, I'm so much more than my picture. But I also like, when it comes to pictures, I have like a very, I don't know if it's like nuanced is even the correct word for it, but kind of this like gray opinion on it, which is like, I totally understand why you'd want a picture, and I totally get why you don't want to send one. Like, I really get both perspectives. I don't know how it's like the genie came out of the bottle and we can't really shove it back in. Like, I don't know how we go back from this, like now that it's a concept that's out there. So I totally understand people who don't want to, I get all perspectives. The one thing that I have to say is like, I don't think it's fair to like berate guys for looking at pictures if that's just part of the system at this point.
Yeah, I was going to add that I think everyone is secretly superficial, and everyone stalks everyone on Google, and we're all there. Like, unfortunately, my 8th grade robotics picture is on the internet, and like, you will find the person somewhere on the internet. So, and everyone's doing it, even people who don't look at shit off pictures. Like, I went out with a guy and he's like, oh, I Bishita, don't look at shit off pictures. And then he told me that he stalked me online and he found my LinkedIn photo, and I was like, well, then you knew exactly what you were gonna get before you met me. So, and I think girls do the same thing. I think girls, if they see a picture, totally judge and make preconceived notions. And the only reason why girls don't nix guys because of their photos, which girls totally do, is because girls don't get as many options. So, and people say, oh, go out with him, go out with him. And they pressure them to go out with them because they're like, attraction grows for girls. It's not like once you know his personality, he's all of a sudden going to become super good looking to you. So I feel like girls are more pressured into going out with guys, even though they don't think they look good in their picture. In my personal experience, if I didn't like the way a guy looked in the picture and I still went out with him, I struggled finding him attractive in real life also, because like, shocker, if you're 200 pounds in your picture, you're probably 200 pounds in real life. And you're probably not gonna like that in real life either. But I think that with pictures, I think with girls and guys, it gives you a vibe of what you're gonna get. First of all, for me, it gives me like way less anxiety before a date. Like, oh, okay, okay, I know what I'm looking at. I know what I'm getting. Okay. I don't think, and I also think that everyone is like, I don't think that, I think most people are good looking enough that I don't think people are fully basing it on, oh, she's just super hot or he's super good looking. I think people are basing it on like, what is the vibe of the picture? You could tell a lot from a photo, where it's taken, like what the vibe is. And I think it's, I think it's like just human nature to want to see kind of a little bit besides this like paper. I think it just relieves a lot of stress. And I really think people aren't doing it for completely the wrong reasons. I'm sure people totally nix ideas because of a photo for sure. But I think that a lot of people, they have 10 girls who look exactly the same. They sound exactly the same. And even their pictures are probably similar, but they kind of get a vibe of what they're, what they're looking at. So I'm for pictures. I think that we're all superficial. I'm going to Google you anyway, so I might as well get the best version of you. The only thing I have against pictures is when people tell you, oh, you can't send that one, or can you send three different versions? Like, no, I'm sending you this picture. This is what you're getting. I don't care if it's not a full body. You don't need to see my full body. That's a little excessive. But here's my face. This is kind of the vibe. This is the energy that like I want to perceive the world to perceive. And that's what you're going to get. So my problem is when people start being like, oh, wait, no, can you send me one from a wedding? This is too formal. This isn't formal enough. Can you send one here, here, here? Then I'm like, okay, let's just chill out. But other than that, I happily send a picture, whether that's very superficial or not. That's just how I view it.
Like, I was about to unmute because I remember that that's the one thing that I get passionate about pictures is when Chadhanim will say, like, can you stand further back in the camera, turn to the side, put one hand on your hip, turn towards the camera, put half your hair behind your back, put half your head in front. Like, I'm not exaggerating. Or you get like Chadhanim will, every Chadhanim wants something different, right? So, and then you'll have Chadhanim send you, text you or call you and let you know like the feedback you're getting on your picture. Like, guys don't like this, or like, guys don't want a girl who's like casual or formal. It makes you look like this. It makes you look like this. So you get like a lot of feedback. And I've gotten to the point of like, is this what I look like? Like, this picture is pretty accurate to what I look like. So if he doesn't like what I look like, then he doesn't like. So no, that is like something that's incredibly frustrating. And I doubt that the guys get that. Maybe they do, but definitely girls get a lot of that.
I don't think that girl needs to send out
my radar, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I was saying, I never knew about that little trick that they told me about on the podcast. I'm not that guy that requests full body pictures. I have a feeling that I think Chadhanim requests these things, and it's not even the guys a lot of the time. It's most guys don't think to ask that, or don't even want to be the guy that asks that, because you don't want to be that person that's asking for like, give me this kind of picture, give me this kind of picture. Like, you take what you get and you work with it generally, or you look her up on LinkedIn. I don't know.
I guess, well, first I'll say, I feel like this topic of conversation about pictures has been like the topic of the century for the past, like, who knows how long about pictures. So it's just, you know, very popular, obviously. And I don't think a girl needs to send a full body picture. Like, absolutely not. First of all, like, you're sending yourself to whoever, Chadhanim or even guys. And, you know, for a girl, she probably's thinking in her head, I don't know, maybe this, my picture's going to just get out there and everyone's going to have it. So I can understand from a girl's standpoint why they wouldn't want to send a full body picture. I think it's also like a sense of like, to me, it's just for you guys. You know, a guy could be zooming into each body part and like like analyzing each thing. And, you know, that's not a good feeling for like a girl. So definitely it's okay to send just a face picture. I guess me personally, like, I've definitely try not to, you know, look at pictures before a date. Yes, I've had my fair share of looking at pictures before dates, but I definitely try not to, because sometimes I go on a date and I didn't look at a picture and I come back and it just, it looks nothing alike. Not in a good way, or just not in a bad way, but sometimes the picture is just like off. I think even Ben made that like point. So yeah, I think, you know, the pictures is like a hot topic, but, you know, you can send or not send. It doesn't really matter, you know, but these days it seems that everyone just wants a picture.
I have a few points on this. I think you got to trust on who's writing the idea to you. You know, if it's some random person who thought an idea for you, then, you know, I kind of would like not trust the person and would like to see a picture. But if it's like someone that I trust who set me up in the past and I know they're not going to, you know, send me God knows who, then it's a lot of times like I won't feel necessary to like ask for a picture. Yes, when I started dating, I did not look at pictures, barely. The girl sent, great. The girl didn't send, like, I didn't go ahead and like request it. But now that I did my fair share of dating, it's kind of like it gives you like a baseline on the idea. And if you should either like, because looking into a girl, I'm sure girls looking into guys, you know, it's time consuming a lot of the times. So it gives like a baseline. It's like, you know, should I, you know, continue looking into this girl? Not, she doesn't have to look dead drop gorgeous to you in a picture for you to look into her, but it's just kind of like a, you know, like a sign. Okay, let me, you know, okay, this one, okay, like, it looks decent. Okay, let's look into it, you know. And again, like what people said, like you definitely go out and you know, the person doesn't look anything like the picture. So for the better or for the worse. So,
but I want to end with one question for you guys, which is, what is one question you think is not asked often enough on dates or about dating that should be asked?
Mine isn't really, I have 2 points. One is that it's kind of the opposite. I just wish that I just wish that we didn't talk about dating and dates and what to talk about. Like, obviously it's a big part of our lives. I just wish that sometimes, like, as single people, we kind of just enjoyed our present moment and kind of just took a breath and just lived in, besides dating. I kind of feel like we tend to emphasize a lot, all of our conversations, and revolve around what to do on dates and stuff. So I just kind of wish that we could learn how to branch out a little bit and be like our own selves and like kind of be more than just a single, like the fact that that's even what we're called is kind of like, I don't know. But the one thing I just wish in Shidduchim in general, I just wish that, and this is kind of full circle back to the beginning, where I just wish that there was more honesty between everyone. I wish people were more truthful, like just like not pretending just to be themselves. And this is why I think having the conversation at the end of the date about where you're holding is so cool, because I think it really gives you the space to be honest and to be truthful. I just wish that like we could be more of our authentic selves. Obviously you're trying to put your best foot forward, but kind of just being more truthful to who you are and not just like trying to be what everyone else kind of wants you to be. And like with bios, this makes me laugh. I always want to write like a realistic bio, like what I'm really like. Obviously I would never do that because I think that then like, you know, but like, hi, I'm me. I have flaws. I have, you know, I'm not perfect all the time. And I'm not, you know, my hobbies, I don't do them all day. Sometimes I just lie in my bed and watch Netflix. But I just kind of wish that we were a little bit more truthful to who like we truly are and not like this pretend person, because ultimately we are who we really are. So that's my comment, not really a question, but yeah.
It's perfect, Etty. And I actually think that you should write a bio of exactly who you are. Why not? Let's start that trend.
It's just common what Etty said. Me and my friends always joke that every guy says they want a girl who's like chill and laid back and like, chill and laid back. And like, where are the guys who are saying, I'm looking for a girl who's like really uptight? Like, nobody says that. So maybe I'll put that in my bio. Not chill, not laid back.
Yeah, I don't know if it's not asked by other people. I know that I think the most important question that I ask and that I always bring up when I'm dating is, where do you see, or what do you aspire your house to look like in 20 years, in 40 years, in 10 years, whatever, work backwards. Because I think that's kind of one of the most important things, is that what you want for your future to look like to line up. I think if your future lines up, then, you know, getting there is much easier. And you can build a home where you guys can agree on the values and direction that you want things to take. I think that's the most important thing that people ask, and I think it should be asked. And I think you should have your answer for that also. I think anyone that's in the dating world should know what they want or have an idea. It's going to be vague, and the farther out it gets, the less concrete that idea will be, for sure. But you should have goals and aspirations and know kind of what you want for your life before you go into dating, because how do you know the person you're going to find? Like, how do you know what to look for if you don't know what you're looking for, what you're working towards?
I want to add something. I mean, I don't think it's like a question, but it's kind of like a statement, like kind of like what Etty said. I just wish that like single, I mean, I think honestly it goes more for girls than for guys, but for sure for guys also, like reaching a certain age and like being a single, like, oh my gosh, like you have an issue because you're not married yet, or you're too picky because you like, it's just your whole identity, like surrounding yourself is like being a single. And for, I'm saying for girls more, just because like guys I think have more leeway on age, but it's just kind of like that, like judgment of people that haven't, like that aren't married yet, and more like you're single, you should have like, must be that like you have like issues, or like this is like something like, you know, that's going on. So for sure, like kind of just like perspective on like people that are single and not married, and also pressures on again, I'm saying girls, I'm sure guys also have this, but pressures on girls to get married so fast. I think that like a lot of people in this generation, like a lot of girls get pressured to get married just to get married and not really think about what they're doing. And I think that's like so like wrong. And again, I think that, and I can say this now, again, I started dating when I was very young, and I can say my mindset from when I was 19 to when I'm now, it's completely has changed. So if I would have been pressured to marry the first guy that I went out with, like I'm a completely different person. I just think the pressure, the stigma, the, I don't know, the surrounding this whole shit off situation, I think is not so healthy in a way.
I'll piggyback a little bit on what Effie was saying, that like, yes, you know, people should be real, you know, with who they are and with what they want. Obviously, you know, before you get engaged, you know, you should really discuss everything. I mean, you don't have to discuss if you're 25 years old every day for the past 25 years of your life, but you should know the person, you know, inside and out, and you know who they are and what they want and what kind of home they want to build, and you know, all that you want, you know, whatever you want in a girl, you know, is she giving that to you? And whatever the girl wants in a guy, are you giving that to her? So I think that's really important, you know, discussing everything, whether it's finances, you know, where you're going to send your kids to school, where you want to live. I mean, yes, obviously you get married and things always change, you know, down the line, but you know, you should have your priorities set and your mindset set, and your values should be, you know, strong. And if they are strong, and or if they're not, you know, meeting up with that person, then, you know, maybe you should think about it a little bit. But you should be totally comfortable, you know, when you are getting engaged to someone, you should be totally comfortable, you know, with them and with who they are and what they want and their values. So yeah, I think it's important to have those conversations, obviously, before engagement.
There's issues with our shidduch system. I'm kidding. I don't really have much to add. I would just say one kind of more like, it's like a frustrating thing. It's like going, or like, I forgot who mentioned this, but like just going around town, like being labeled like a single is just like going around town, whether you're going to a wedding or a meeting, and you meet new people, or a conference, and then it always comes up in conversation. And it's like, oh, you're single. And then it goes into a whole like long conversation about like your dating life and things like that. And I was like, can we just have a conversation not about like my single status right now? Like, I have a life besides that.
Wait, you do?
I don't have a life besides that. My life is fully revolved around my dating. But I did want to add two things also. Circling back, I meant to add in before. That circling back again to Etty says something about putting a best foot forward, and it brings back a line to me that I want to take credit, probably not my line, that when you're dating, you have to put your best foot forward, and you have to make sure that it's your best foot and not someone else's foot. And I think I messed up that line, but you get the point. The point is, make sure it's yourself that you're putting forward, and it should be your best self, but make sure it's yourself and it's genuine to yourself.
Now that's your line, Ben.
Something like that. And then there was something else I was going to say, and I forgot. So,
in terms of like what people should talk about that don't talk about, I think that it's individual to each person, and you should. Is that what you were going to say?
No,
I don't just remember. But I think that if there's something that you've justified in your brain that you don't need to tell the other person, like that's the thing you should definitely tell the other person. So if you're like convincing yourself like it was a long time ago, it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't really count as like medication. Like I technically don't need to be on it. It wasn't like a serious drug problem. It's like I didn't have to go to rehab. I wasn't. Whatever the thing is that you're telling yourself, you don't need to tell the other person. Like it's definitely the thing you need to tell the other person. And that's going to be different for every person. And I don't know that everybody has that, but if you're doing like internal math and like making judgments in your own head, like you should.
I think that's a very, very vague statement. I mean, you made. I mean, for sure, you should definitely not hide things from your spouse. The certain things you say in your second date and on the third date and the fourth date and the fifth date, and everything's going to be different. And yeah, it might be on someone's mind, you know, from an earlier on. Doesn't mean that should be shared until the other person has an idea of the pros and cons. But yeah, you should definitely, you know, obviously share everything with your wife. And it's on your mind, and it should be shared at a certain point. You just know when that is. But the other thing I was going to say, the last thing I was going to say was that, going back to what Yekusiel said, that the shidduch system is so perfect, but it has to be worked. It has to be worked for yourself. You have to know how to work within the shidduch system to make it work for you. It's because it's very much made, I think, for a very specific niche type of guy and girl. And there's such a wide range of guys and girls in the shidduch system that if you try to work within its cookie cutter box like parameters, you have to be a very specific type of person for it to be successful. And I think you have to not be scared to say, this is I'm comfortable with, and this I'm not comfortable with, and this is something that aligns with my values, and this something that doesn't align with my values. I'm going to work with this as much as I can within its boundaries, and then I'm going to say, this doesn't work for me. And I'm going to just, as long as I think your mind is your heart's in the right place and you're following Das Torah and you're trying to do what you think Hashem wants from you, I think the shidduch system can work for you. Because it works for a lot of people, I mean, on a daily basis. So, yeah,
but Raquel. Can I ask you, like, what do you mean by, like, making it work for you? Like, because again, like you said, like, the shidduch system is super cookie cutters. Like,
yeah. So, for example, I would say, like, for a girl that doesn't feel comfortable sending out her pictures, I think she can date in the shidduch system and not send out pictures. And it might seem harder for her that she might not. I don't think the girl that doesn't send out pictures because she doesn't feel comfortable, because she doesn't feel sneeze sending out pictures, is not going to get married through the shidduch system. I think she can. And I think she will, Bezrat Hashem, in the right time. It might be harder for her that she might not get as many yeses to begin with, but yeses doesn't equal your spouse. You just need one, you know, the right one is the right one, and that's good. That's it. We're not looking, I mean, you can stereotype as much as you want until it gets stuck in, because you're looking for one, and there's exceptions to every rule. So yeah, do what you think is right, and Hashem will look out for you. I think that's what it comes down to.
Okay, so there is one question that, if anybody has to leave, you can totally leave, but there was one question that a lot of people were very interested in that came from the other podcast, which was, what is your response to someone who's dating and they're not holding where they want to, but they say that when they get married, they will change?
I personally think that you shouldn't, like, I think you, when you're making the decision of who you're going to marry, you're making the decision of who you're going to marry in that moment. And you should never marry someone who's going to change for no one. Is going to change for someone else. The only person they're going to change for is themselves. And I feel like it's not fair of anyone. And when you get married, all your expectations should be thrown out the window. You could have standards, but your expectations should be thrown out the window. And if somebody is telling you that you can expect something different from them once they get married, it's not fair for themselves. They're not being 100% truthful with themselves. And I don't think it's fair for you, because then you have expectations when there's no place to have expectations. Once you get married, you can have standards, but I feel like if you expect things, it just leads to disappointment. So I would never say, I mean, it never is a strong word, so whatever, but I feel like it's in a very rare circumstance should you say okay to someone saying, oh, I'll change for you and I'll change once I'm married, because marriage doesn't solve your internal problems or your internal struggles. It just changes the circumstance a little bit. So I wouldn't say that it's probably a healthy mindset. I think if you're going to change for yourself, be realistic. And if you're okay with the fact that your spouse is holding in a different place, then that's okay. You don't have to maybe marry something that you expected. If everything else, I guess, kind of lines up. But if you're like, I want a guy who goes to Minion 3 times a day, and the guy's saying, oh, well, when I get married, I'm going to go to Minion 3 times a day, but now I maybe go for Shabbos, I think that that's an unrealistic expectation, and it's just going to lead to a lot of disappointment and frustration and conflict. So I personally would not marry someone who's willing to change for me. I would hope that they would want to change for themselves, work on themselves. And then if in the future, it's still a possibility, maybe circle back, but I would highly not recommend changing for someone else.
Everything that you said, amen.
I was going to say also, like, I think you have to be honest with yourself. If you have if you have a project mindset, you like to look at people as projects, like you need to like recognize that in yourself and kind of like get rid of that, especially with dating. I think some people like a project specifically, and like marriage is just, you don't want to marry a project. And like, you'll hear people talk, like women talk about like, you can train him. Like you hear that kind of language around guys. Like you can train him to do this. You can like push him to do this. And like, that's not fair to a guy to marry a guy and then like expect to like manipulate him to like be the person you want him to be, or vice versa. Like that would be like really psycho sounding vice versa. So like, it's not so good either way. But yeah, I would agree that you shouldn't marry someone with the expectation that they're going to change.
Marry someone who, for who they are today, not who they'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, I've never read any dating or psychology books where they told you that they're going to change after they get married. What I would add, I think that wasn't touched on, is that, I mean, there is life is about growth, and we do progress, and there is something to be said about that. I think where the line is what they're working on today. I think that if someone is working on something today, then there is a much more, you can give them more credibility that it will be different in 10 years, in 10 months, in 2 years, whatever it is. And not necessarily because they're going to be married, but because they're working on themselves today, and that there's a timeline for growth. So I think that shouldn't be discounted. But yeah, definitely don't expect people to change because marriage is a magic wand that all of a sudden got waved under the chuppah, because it's not.
I think we all agree on it on this topic.
Okay, amazing. Well, I want to thank all of you guys for coming on here, for being vulnerable, for sharing, for hashtag keeping it real. I hope that everyone who listened in was probably nodding in agreement. And definitely, you know, enjoyed the conversation. And I look forward to speaking to all of you soon. Thank you for joining us.